Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Let me turn on my light. All right. So I'm a little behind getting back in the office here, but should be okay. Just need to make sure I can get my screen up. Can you tell me what happens when I do this? Do you still see me? Okay, perfect. So I can go to a different screen, which is great. So now I'm going to present here. Present, presenter view, present. I'm going to bring this over here and enter widescreen mode. All right. And then I'm going to share. You still see me? Share screen. Let's just do this. I think let's just do this. A little scared, but.
Okay, so now I don't see you at all and I just see the PowerPoint.
You don't see me?
Don't see you at all.
It's
just okay. Full screen of the PowerPoint.
That's okay. Oh, someone else is coming in. Hi there, welcome. It's my fault for admitting them. Looks like I have to do this manually, which is fine. And we'll just go ahead and do without music this time, and I'll add it in post-editing. All right, we'll probably get started in a few minutes anyway, give people time to get on, and that'll give me an opportunity to get situated here. Are you able to see comments or the chat tool? Great, let's see this last one. No, okay. I need to make sure this is added. All right, we'll get started in just a few minutes here. I'm gonna close this out. Stop sharing. Make sure that this is included. Perfect. All right, done. Perfect. Now, go here. Boom. Present. Bring this here. And boom. Sam, can you see this screen now?
Yes.
Excellent. All right, I'm going to go ahead and let folks into the room here. Welcome, welcome. For those who are coming in, we'll go ahead and get started in about 60 seconds or so. Give folks some time to jump in. Glad you're able to make it. I'll let you know now, and I'll repeat this later too once we start the recording. And that is, this is an interactive webinar. So certainly if you have any questions or comments, I encourage you to use the chat tool or even unmute yourself and ask the question. Certainly I enjoy that feedback and conversation. So in just a few moments here, we'll go ahead and get started. All right, welcome everyone to the next Simple Visit webinar. The topic today, as you see there, is do's and don'ts for user-friendly telemedicine. Simple Visit webinars usually go into this format. It's interactive and with a 20 to 30 minute presentation and then some time for Q&A at the end. We want to position these webinars to be helpful for where you're at. Obviously, those who are joining in or participating represent various organizations and styles and workflows. And so there may be things that would be helpful to dive in more specifically for your needs. And so I want to introduce myself. I'm Rob Warlick. I'm the managing director here at Simple Visit. And what we do here, we offer a service that helps medical groups like yours manage a successful telemedicine program. Our service opens up for compatibility with common video calling apps. We have call coordinators who help offer technical support for your telemedicine program. And we offer customization to fit your workflow and needs. And before I made this slide, I did not realize that was alliteration with C's, compatibility, call coordinators, and customization. But that's a good way to remember what Simple Visit does. Our aim is to help healthcare providers offer the most user-friendly telemedicine service possible. And there's various ways that we do that, which is very fitting for our topic today on the do's and don'ts for user-friendly telemedicine. And so what I'm going to share here today is collected from our years of experience, from conversations that we have with our customers, conversations from peers within the industry, and I'm happy to consolidate these. Really, it's a summary, but to share this with you in a way that will be helpful for your practice. For more detail for how Simple Visit might be able to help you, I highly encourage you to go to simplevisit.com/guide. There you'll find a series of questions. It's the right questions to ask regarding your workflow, your specific use case, and how you're implementing telemedicine. That'll get to me or to someone on my team, and we'll get back to you to help maybe work with you free of charge, complimentary, on the best approach for your telemedicine program. Very good. So with that said, I want to do my best to set up the conversation today by talking about the problem. We're interested in learning more about user-friendly telemedicine, probably because you're at a stage of maturity in your telemedicine program where you're not just trying to solve a problem for video visits, but you're trying to improve or create something that's sustainable and valuable to your organization. And we know this to be true, that failure to implement a user-friendly telemedicine program, it shows up in things like poor patient reviews. When they go to Google and they'll give you 1 or 2 stars because they had a poor experience over a particular video visit. And that definitely has a lasting impact as those accumulate. It also stains the reputation of your clinic, of your group, of your practice, or an individual provider if you have poor experiences with your telemedicine. If you have a failure to implement user-friendly telemedicine, you get poor reviews, it stains the reputation, and it cripples engagement. The name of the game here is you want patients using the telemedicine platform because you want them coming to you. You don't want them going to another provider that perhaps has a different options or different ways to care for them virtually. You want to be able to offer that and for your patients to keep coming back. And we know this to be true even outside of telemedicine. I mean, everyone likes great customer service, right? They want an excellent experience. You probably can think of a restaurant, fast food or otherwise, in your particular area that excels because they offer a great customer experience. In fact, I mean, I know for our family, this may be a little off topic or odd, but there's the fast food restaurant we go after church every Sunday. And there's one that we would go to that's technically physically closer, but the experience there has been very poor. And so we'll actually drive further away to go to the same restaurant at a different location because they offer a better experience. And so people are willing to drive further. They're willing to pay more because of experience. So creating, developing that user-friendly experience is going to go a long way for your practice financially and otherwise. And so this draws the importance of why we're talking about the do's and don'ts, so we can help equip your practice with the best ways to develop that for your telemedicine program. So I want to share this. Obviously, our goal, Simple Visit's goal, is to help practices like yours develop the user-friendly telemedicine experience. We're assuming that this is your goal too. And so we're going to work together here. I'm going to lay the groundwork before I dive into the do's and don'ts, and there's four of them, four sets of do's and don'ts. I want to lay the groundwork by talking about usability. So good usability equals a good user experience, user-friendly telemedicine. And so in order to achieve good usability, this is what is being taught. Good usability equals something that is efficient, effective, and satisfying. Something that is effective means it actually accomplishes what you are expecting it to accomplish. That should be common sense. It has to be effective in order to qualify as good usability, or for the context of our discussion, user-friendly. It also needs to be efficient, meaning not only did it get the job done, but it got the job done in a way that seems frictionless, seamless, in order for it to be done. This was the best, I have a confidence that this was the best way that it could be done. That's means good usability, and it means user-friendly experience. And then the last one here, satisfying, means it goes beyond just accomplishing the job. It goes beyond just doing it in a way that I feel like is the best. There's generating this feeling of satisfaction that I participated in this. This is something that I would do again, not just, you know, not just because I need it to, but this is something that I would not mind suggesting to others. It was satisfying. And so those are the qualifications for good usability. I'm going to reference these a little later in the discussion. So I want to lay this groundwork. Opposite of that would be poor usability. So here's what's taught are the factors in poor usability: wasted time, errors, frustration. I mean, you can imagine, right, that anyone who feels like that they wasted their time going through something is going to label that as poor usability or not necessarily user-friendly. Same with errors. Errors, no matter how big or small, will always move the needle towards a bad experience. Usually that's when you hear about somebody in a review. You hear the reviews most of the time when someone runs into an error and they had trouble. And that always leads to frustration. If there's this friction, oh, and I need to accomplish this, and I'm not quite sure how, that generates frustration, which always leads to poor usability. So now you see this visit, this on the screen, the difference between good usability, bad usability, and these are factors that will contribute to whether or not your telemedicine program is user friendly or not. Very good. So with that said, let's review the key points of learning that we've accumulated from our experience and industry best practices. So this is not just what Simple Visit is saying. This is from our experience and also from the telemedicine industry. This session, as I mentioned at the start, is meant to be interactive. So don't hesitate. Feel free to jump on and speak up with any questions. You could also use the chat tool if you're more comfortable to do that. But I'm open for dialogue as we go through the presentation. And certainly at the end, we'll have an opportunity to discuss that even more. Very good. So with that said, I want to go ahead and introduce the new chat, the first set of do's and don'ts. And we'll dive into the meat of our discussion as we learn together. The first set of do's and don'ts here: don't treat virtual care as an inconvenience. On the contrary, do create a culture of empathy. If you want to know what it takes to have a user-friendly telemedicine program, it starts here. Don't treat virtual care as an inconvenience. Do create a culture of empathy. It is well circulated, this opinion, that telemedicine visits are somehow subpar or a poor substitute for a regular in-person visit. And while I could spend a whole webinar talking about the benefits of video visits, our focus today is on the user-friendly experience. And so I'll admit it's true that you lose some of the familiarity of the office environment, you lose access to some of the same tools that you're used to, but to view video visits as ineffective will automatically send the wrong message. If your team, if your participants view telemedicine visits as being less than, it will by default create a poor user experience. If this mindset permeates through your organization, if your staff, if your admin staff feel like, oh yeah, this is one of those telemedicine appointments. If your providers are annoyed at having to participating in video visits, or if they're uncomfortable, that can be felt. And it all contributes to a poor user experience for the patient. I mean, think about it. Your patients, they're already very likely intimidated with the video visit. Even if they're used to doing video calls, even if they've done telemedicine appointments in the past, there's still this level of intimidation. Patients are most concerned, and we get this through our research, patients are most concerned about the technology. Their concern is this something that's going to work that I can figure out if there's problems. So there's fear and anxiety that's generated from that. Excuse me. They're also concerned about their environment. They're not in your office. You're in their home or wherever they are. So they have access. You have access to their environment. So they're concerned about the background, about what can be seen, what can be heard, about how they appear sometimes. Some patients worry about that, but this is, it generates anxiety. And then the last thing that we pull from the research is their privacy. Obviously there's anxiety and concern over a virtual visit regarding their privacy, as opposed to them being in a room in a healthcare facility with a healthcare provider. This is a different venue. And so they're already anxious. So the best way to ensure that they have a user-friendly experience is to create a culture of empathy. While your staff is going through adjustments because of telemedicine, while your providers are going through adjustments because of telemedicine, the same is true for the patient. We're adjusting together. And by intentionally being considerate of your patient's experience, you extend grace to them But you also earn grace when things aren't perfect. Does that make sense? I want to maybe repeat that in another way. If you do the work to create a culture of empathy, which it's not just you set a policy and let it be done. To create a culture, there's multiple steps that need to happen. But if you're able to do that and to have your staff and your providers and whoever is involved in this telemedicine experience be considerate of the patients, you're extending grace to the patient, but you also earn grace, because then if something does go the a way that you don't expect, the patient's going to extend grace because they're already feeling that from your organization, and they'll be more than likely to have a sense of satisfaction instead of anxiety or fear or frustration. All right. So with that said, let me go ahead and just dive into some tips real quick on how to accomplish this. And so the best way that I can just share with you here is I'll speak to these as you're looking at them. Number one, if you don't already have one, you should do this. Get a patient feedback survey. When that session's done, go ahead and reach out with an email, a link, or a phone call to get feedback from the patient on their experience, and make sure you're asking the right questions, to gather the right metrics in order for you to make significant change. But you can't point somebody in the right direction if you don't know where they're at. So create a way to get that feedback so that you can respond to that appropriately. Number two, celebrate wins with your team. Celebrate wins with your team. What do I mean by that? Well, if we're creating a culture of empathy, if we're trying to change the culture of our organization to include and embrace telemedicine as a way that we deliver care instead of treating it secondhand, so that we're creating a good user experience, it matters what you celebrate. It matters what you're elevating. And so I encourage you to be very intentional with times of celebration, celebrating the amount of visits that were done, maybe some success stories, highlighting some case studies with your team in whatever way that you typically do that. Perhaps it's a team meeting or an email notification or whatever, but find ways to celebrate that so that you're changing the perception of telemedicine and indirectly affecting a positive user experience for your patient. And then the last thing you see here is to acknowledge that virtual care is different, meaning there should be a different level of expectation, but different doesn't necessarily mean lacking. It has many benefits. And so we need to acknowledge virtual care, it's doing it over video, is not going to be the same. We understand that. We're empathetic, sympathize with you there, but we need to celebrate what these benefits are. And I encourage you to repeat those benefits in your messaging. What do I mean by that? Well, when the patient's scheduling something or they're onboarding, they see a list of benefits for doing video visits. When they're being engaged for the video visits, those things are repeated. When they're actually meeting, there's ways to incorporate that in the script. Oh, I hope you enjoyed the convenience of blah, blah, blah. And then certainly afterwards, when you're getting that feedback from them, dropping the hit or feeding the grapevine on the benefits of using your telemedicine program. So hopefully that inspires and gives you some practical examples of ways that you can implement this. The do's and don'ts there are: don't treat virtual care as an inconvenience, but do create a culture of empathy. All right, moving on to the next one here. I want to encourage you in your efforts to develop a user-friendly telemedicine. Don't make your patients jump through a lot of hoops, but find ways to create a familiar experience. We've already acknowledged that many of your patients feel this anxiety when it comes to telemedicine. And certainly, if you're dealing with a particular demographic that's uncomfortable with technology, they're launching into the unknown. They're already jumping into this, not from ground zero, but they're jumping in for this from a state of confusion already. And any errors or steps that are unclear will generate frustration and lead to a poor user experience. not user-friendly. If you remember when we started this off, we said that bad usability equals wasted time, errors, and frustration. This is the opposite of a user-friendly experience. So how do we avoid that? How do we help our patients not have to jump through so many hoops or have a familiar experience? Consistency is crucial. Consistency is crucial. Consistency can be realized in several ways. You can have consistency as in, trying to create a similar experience to the in-person environment. So the workflow could be the same when you're onboarding them or scheduling them, or creating a waiting room or a receptionist before they see the provider. You could set up your workflow to where it's a similar experience so that they have this consistency in the telemedicine appointment. Another way to do this is to make sure that the process is the same. So the way that they schedule, the person that they're talking to, the way that they get communication or the way that they give instructions, it stays the same. And then also making sure that whatever the instructions are being repeated along the way. Never just assume that it's one and done. Always repeat the instructions. So it could be something like this. Patient X, you'll receive a video call over FaceTime. Just answer the call and a receptionist will greet you and help get you to your provider. Could be just as simple as that, that they have an expectation when it comes time to my appointment, I'm receiving a call. I know what I'm supposed to do and I have an expectation of what's coming up. Very good. Not only is consistency a key word here to accomplish this, familiarity is also important. So familiarity, not just with the process, but with the technology. Your patients shouldn't have to feel like they graduated with a degree from telehealthology, so to speak, once they get through a visit because they had to learn so many new things in order to accomplish it. No. Find ways to incorporate a familiar experience. So let me jump in with some tips for how to accomplish this. All right, over communicate, period. I've mentioned this in other webinars that we've done, and certainly when we're helping to consult and coach our clients, we tell them the rule of multiple touches. Here's what that rule is. Who you're trying to communicate to, they don't really get it unless that message is shared with them multiple times in multiple different ways. In fact, the number is 7. Usually it's 7 times. That 7th time, in a variety of ways, they'll get that message. So that could mean you tell them verbally, you send it to them in an email, they get a pamphlet with that in it. They hear about it again in another instance, they hear about it from somebody else, from another person. It's usually multiple touches in order for your message to be received. So if you want to help minimize the steps or the discomfort or create a familiar experience for your patients, over communicate what the instructions are, what the expectation is, and how they can get help. Number 2 here as tips is find ways to seamlessly include your video visits into your existing workflow. Don't feel like, and some of you may already be past this point and that's okay, but don't feel like you have to create a new workflow for video visits specifically when there could very well be a solution that can plug and play in your existing workflow and adds that video component in order to replace the physical room. And so we can unpack that more. We have other webinars or resources for you to dive into that. And you'll see my information there at the bottom of the slide. Shoot me an email, give me a call. I'd be more than happy to talk with you about ways to implement telemedicine into your existing workflow. And then the last tip you see here is to call the patient instead of them calling you, and to leverage existing video platforms. This seems like a little thing or an odd thing, to be said, but that's exactly what Simple Visit does and how we do it. Now, you could reach out to the patient outside of Simple Visit, but I'm going to share with you here that that's what Simple Visit does. Our approach, our process is not to have patient and provider try to meet at the same place at the same time, right? Open an email, click a link, download the app, be at the right place at the same time. No, we bypass all that. And in order to accomplish Simple Visit, which is what we consider a user-friendly experience, we'll call the patient, call the provider with a live receptionist and bridge both parties in on things they already have access to. They may not need to already learn FaceTime because they have it on their device and all they have to do is answer a call. Same with the provider, who could be on Skype, they could be on Teams or Meet or Duo or Zoom or whatever they use. We could bridge those two different video platforms into a secure environment. But regardless of whether you're using Simple Visit or not, try to find ways to minimize those steps on behalf of your patients, which leads me to the next one. Oh, that's the same one. Don't force your patients to figure it out on their own. Make sure you're providing hands-on help and resources. And so the best way to do that, and the last set of do's and don'ts and this set of do's and don'ts, they kind of run together, but there is a difference. But similarly, the name of the game here is ensuring that your users, your patients and your staff are confident. If we were in the same room, I would have you repeat that word, confident. We are confident in that they're confident in their next step. That confidence goes a long way in creating a positive user experience and making it user friendly. One of the best ways to do this, I've already alluded to it in the previous one, is to minimize the amount of steps it takes to connect. The more steps it takes, like I already mentioned, open an email, click a link, sign in here, remember a username and password, be on the right browser, be at the right place at the right time, make sure you have this connection, blah, blah, blah. And the more steps that you add in the process, the more places you have for people to drop off or to get frustrated and to lose their confidence in the experience. So minimize those steps and get them connected quickly and more seamlessly. Your participants, the providers or the patients, they have to either feel accomplished or relieved. Remember good usability from the beginning when we talked about satisfying? Not only it needs to be effective, it needs to be efficient, it needs to be satisfying. Well, satisfying comes when you feel accomplished or relieved. It could be accomplished that they overcame an obstacle, and hopefully they don't have to jump through too many hoops to try to accomplish this. Or preferably, we want them to feel relieved that the experience was not as bad as they thought it was. They're walking into the telemedicine experience intimidated, and they leave feeling relieved and satisfied that this is something I can do. Confidence, that's a big deal. And so some things you want to be thinking about is your staff prepared to support a technical problem that comes? Is the telemedicine program you're doing requiring too much on your patients? Or are you forcing your patients to have to figure that out? Or are you providing that hands-on support and resources that can help them? So here's some tips for your consideration on this one. In order to accomplish this, I encourage you to have a clear source for support, maybe even just a single place for that. Could be a web address, your practice name, /support, support dot your web address, whatever. Create a frequently asked questions. Have a website, maybe even tutorial videos that could be done very simply. You could record yourself on Zoom or on your phone or other ways. So I encourage you to find ways that you can have video, something that they could just see and listen to instead of reading and trying to interpret. Visuals help as well. Or provide, if you have the capability, provide a support phone number. If your staff is trained to do that, give them a support phone number or a web chat tool that they can use to get clear or quick support. And then the last one under this one is clear onboarding instructions. And I mentioned this before, whatever the instructions are, make sure you're repeating them in different ways because it takes that seventh time for your user to actually engage and understand. And then the last tip here under this one is to train your staff or outsource technical support. And again, this is a place where Simple Visit comes in. We have what we call telemedicine receptionists, a call center where whether we're connecting your appointment or you have technical issues, you can call that support line. And we act as a managed service provider for your telemedicine program and help your patients and your staff be able to connect seamlessly over video. So I encourage you to be thinking about that. And what that answers here is the do's and don'ts. Don't force your patients to figure it out on their own, but do provide hands-on help and resources. And the last one here, as we land the plane here and open up for any questions or dialogue, is don't settle for your current solution, but be willing to adapt as needed. Here's what I mean by that. Telemedicine implementation is still in its early stages. Despite having been an option for decades, truly, telemedicine has been around for decades. It's only recently been most widely accepted. And even recent statistics say that we're only at around 50% adoption with telemedicine. More innovations happening, more customization, more specialization is unfolding. It would be advantageous for your team, your stakeholders, to be open for strategic implementation. And so here's what you could do. You could evaluate your telemedicine program on a particular cycle, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, however that works for your team. And then adapt to what works for you. Browser-based video conferencing is not the only option. And they come with connectivity issues. They have feature limitations. Building an app isn't always an option. You have most of the time poor utilization, people not downloading or using the apps or engaging them. You have to maintain or have maintenance on that application. And then device support is also an issue with that. Piecemealing or trying to MacGyver your video solution with stuff like Zoom, it isn't always the best option. You got a lot of steps there. You got security, you got customization issues or limitations. Creating a user-friendly experience for your telemedicine program, it takes creativity, it takes innovation. And here's how we define creativity. Creativity is thinking outside the box towards a solution. Leveraging the resources, the programs, and existing processes you have to accomplish efficiency. Remember, efficiency is part of good usability. That's how we define creativity, thinking outside the box towards a solution. Innovation, while similar, is different in the sense that you're adapting, having willingness to change towards excellence. You're driving towards that excellence and perfection. So intentionally building a successful user-friendly telemedicine program that your staff and your patients not only feel comfortable using, but they become raving fans. They're satisfied with using it. They're confident and comfortable with using it. And so in order to accomplish that, here's the tips that I have for you that I'll speak to. Evaluate on a regular interval. I mentioned the options. You can do 30 days. You can do 3 months, 1 year, whatever makes sense for your particular use case. But have it on the calendar. Have the stakeholders engaged and talking about how do we make this better? How do we adapt this? And then you have to know the metrics to look for. In order for those conversations to become valuable, you have to gather the data. And the data could be the types of calls, the demographics of the people that were using the visits, the time of day, the department, depending on your scenario. Could be in the case of Simple Visit, could be the types of video platforms that were used in the visit. These are all metrics that can help you make wiser decisions on how you're investing your time, energy, talent, and resources into your telemedicine program. Obviously, return, reimbursement, these are all factors as well. All right. And then the next tip here is to pilot. So for some of you, having the interval of 3 months, 6 months, or 12 months is not an option. And so it's highly encouraged that even though you may have an existing solution, that you attempt to pilot the another solution simultaneously, kind of have A/B testing if you're able to do that, because that'll give you a clear picture without causing disruption of what telemedicine program may work best for you. And the last one here is buyer's guide. And I'll put up that slide in just a moment. But again, we're talking about not settling for your current solution, but being willing to adapt to your needs. And so if you're interested, the buyer's guide that I mentioned can be found at simplevisit.com/guide. If you fill that out, fill out those questions, that will help you kind of know what to be looking for, to how to evaluate your telemedicine program. And so just a quick review here as we're closing. These four concepts, they're certainly not exhaustive. They just capture the key points of learning from our experience and industry chatter. Use these notes and the buyer's guide to implement a more user-friendly telemedicine program. So let's review these real quick. The first set of do's and don'ts: don't treat your virtual care as an inconvenience, but create a culture of empathy. It's very important. Don't make your patients jump through a lot of hoops. Minimize the amount of steps that can happen, and find ways to create a familiar experience. Remember, familiarity, consistency, confidence are things that we're attempting to accomplish, and the tips that we provide can help you do that. Don't force your patients to figure it out on their own, but provide hands-on help and resources. That could be your staff, or in the case for Simple Visit, we have a team that's available to that you can outsource that to, for sure. And then the last one that we talked about is don't settle for your current solution. Be willing to adapt as needed. And this is the do's and don'ts that we're talking about. Simple Visit is built. The reason why we exist is to help your practice offer user-friendly telemedicine. We have the unique ability to do that by being compatible with common video applications like FaceTime, Skype, Google Hangouts, all secure and able to use. We also have live technical support that can be used. Our live telemedicine receptionists, they give that familiar experience to an in-office visit, along with a safe place for technical support whenever it's needed. Our service approach allows us to customize to your workflow and to your specialty. And so you can, I certainly want to find ways that we can help you get connected. And so I want to encourage you to perhaps consider signing up for a pilot, or at least filling out the guide so we can have a conversation, or arranging a demo to where you can get started with our program. We have a 1 month, no long-term commitment required plan that you can take advantage of for $150 a month. Certainly there's options to discuss that, but I want to let you know that this is why we exist. We have a technology that's able to integrate these video platforms, and we offer that in the way of a service for your practice so that you can achieve the most user-friendly telemedicine possible. All right, with that, I'm certainly over the 30-minute presentation mark. I'm not seeing, but I also did not look regarding any comments or questions, but I do want to open it up now for any comments you may have on things that you've experienced regarding some of the things we talked about on creating a user-friendly telemedicine program, or any questions that were generated from the things that we discussed today. Let me take a look here. Make sure I'm not missing what's in the chat. Perfect. Okay. All right. Awesome. So with that said, I'm going to throw up this slide again, encourage you to fill out the buyer's guide, simplevisit.com/guide. It has the right questions that you need to ask, be asking regarding the development of your telemedicine program. And at the bottom there is my email and my phone number. You can feel free to reach me anytime with any questions you have, maybe specific to your particular program. And we'll be more than happy to help you find ways to build a user-friendly telemedicine program. That's why we're here. All right. Well, thank you for joining. Hope you all have a great day and look forward to speaking to you soon. All right.
No questions,
no feedback. That's okay. I feel okay about the audio, so I'll use the content here. I'll trim it up and get it over to Grace.
Okay, cool.
All right, we did it.
Yeah,
so I didn't tell you, I don't know that if I told you this. Yeah, because after you and I talked to Savannah.
Okay.
But the reason why we had so little, we were sending the emails, the automation, every Friday leading up to this. So if somebody signed up 2 weeks ago, they got an email at 12 o'clock Friday 2 weeks ago saying that the webinar was about to start.
What? How did that happen? I thought we made the template.
It's the way the webinar, it's the way that automation was. So it wasn't the email.
Oh.
The email didn't say that. It was when the email was triggered.
Oh no.
Yeah. So we did a last ditch effort to try to send an email. We just copied that email and sent it out to everybody who signed up. So yeah. That's why we only had like four or five on here because of that situation.
Yeah.
But we'll have the show notes like we did the last time. I'll send out the recording, and we'll try to make the most of this. I don't feel like it was wasted. Like I feel comfortable. I mean, I feel there could be more meat, like more statistics or references to whatever. But I feel like the concept and the discussion is still valuable to our clients, and it's something I'm comfortable talking about. Are you kidding me? Creating culture and talking about user-friendly experience. So
yeah,
I am. So we'll make the most of this.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm gonna update the web page now.
Cool. Oh, okay. I just stopped sharing. I didn't kick you off. I should stop recording too.